Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and Adventures in the Forgotten Realms preview season is here. One of the new card cycles I am most excited for are the new class enchantments. Today, I'm going to go through all the classes in Wooburg order to try to give a brief rundown on each of them and my initial opinions. Let's talk about the basics first. Class is going to be a new subtype found on enchantments, and we don't yet have the exact ruling on how this is going to work. We'll probably learn more when the release notes for Adventures in the Forgotten Realms come out. All classes start at level 1, similar to how sagas start at level 1 when you first resolve them. And visually, they look very similar to sagas, with a vertical text box on the right-hand side of the card instead of on the left like you would see with sagas. You can also level up as a sorcery by paying the mana cost printed to go from one level to the next. You can't skip over a level, such as leapfrogging from level 1 right to level 3. The card retains all the rules text of lower levels printed on it at higher levels. The card does not go away after achieving level 3, and all classes so far appear to be fairly efficiently costed. They all represent potential mana sinks for decks which often find themselves low on cards or other actions to take later in the game. Being efficiently costed also often means that you can afford to cast the spell, get it onto the battlefield, and later in the game, in the same turn, potentially even level it up once or twice. Finally, these are all enchantments, which may play into something that the Enchantress deck you built back when the Theros Beyond Death set came out. This may finally be playing into something you want to do with that deck. So let's get started going through each of these classes in order. First up, in white, we have the Cleric class. Cleric costs a single white mana, and at level 1, if you would gain life, you gain that much life plus 1 instead. So this is a replacement effect. Not being a triggered effect doesn't not give you extra life, it just gives you one additional life, is not an additional instance of life gain. So there are some life gain decks where it matters how much life you've gained, others that matter more how many times you've gained life. Pick and choose depending on what kind of deck you're building with that level 1 ability. Level 2 costs 3 and a white. Whenever you gain life, put a plus 1 counter on target creature you control. So this is fairly interesting for some decks. Karlov of the Ghost Council, for example, you're going to be gaining life and putting plus one counters on Karlov, which you can then remove to exile other permanents. This does not give you an extra life gain trigger, but it does make your life gain triggers better, and it gives you a bonus plus one counter on Karlov anyway. That's pretty interesting. Could play into some other life gain type decks as well. It only puts it on a single creature, but that's still interesting. Finally, level 3 costs 4 and a white. When this class becomes level 3, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. You gain life equal to its toughness. Analyzing this again, you're going to gain life equal to its toughness plus 1. Then you can put a plus 1 counter on target creature you control. So if you brought back a Sarah Angel, a 4-4, you would bring it back, gain 4 life plus 1 for 5 life, and then put a plus 1 counter on your Sarah Angel, making now a 5-5 flying vigilance. Okay, that's not bad. It's a lot of mana, but you can break it up over multiple turns, so overall, that's pretty interesting. Let's see how Cleric compares to our next class, the Paladin class. Paladin also costs a single white mana, and at level 1, spells your opponents cast during your turn cost 1 more to cast. This is surprisingly powerful of an effect. For a single white mana, your opponents are taxed for trying to do things during your turn. They can still interact. But the fact that this comes down very efficiently could easily throw a wrench into the works if they were holding up just enough mana to be able to swords to plowshares one of your creatures or hold up mana for their 2-mana counterspell to try to stop you. Then, the cost to level up to level 2 is fairly efficient, 2 and a white, and creatures you control get +1/+1. So for a total investment of 2 white-white, we have an Anthem for +1/+1, little bit overrate, but we also still have the ability to tax our opponents, for an additional 1 mana for them to cast spells during our turn. Finally, at level 3, for 4 and a white, we gain, whenever you attack, until end of turn, target attacking creature gets +1/+1 for each other attacking creature, and gains double strike. So the wording here looks to be a little bit different. It's whenever you attack, so that presumably means whenever one or more creatures you control attacks, they're probably just shaving a little bit of space and off the wording of certain things. It makes one of your creatures into a quote-unquote champion, which is very fitting of the Paladin class. That is a pretty sizable buff for any go-wide strategy. That's really, really cool. Similar to a Planeswalker Ultimate, I'm not really going to judge this based on the level 3. I'm much more interested in those level 1 and 2s on a lot of these classes so far, and Paladin really seems to live really well at that level 2. Level 3 being just kind of a nice bonus if you ever get to it. I like Paladin a lot better than Cleric so far. Let's see how our next one holds up, which is going to be our Wizard. The Wizard class costs a single blue mana. You have no maximum hand size at level 1. I think that ability is a little bit overrated in a lot of players' minds. I have long since cut Reliquary Tower from basically every deck I run currently. I can think of a handful of decks that might want that, but let's see if level 2 makes this any better. Level 2, we pay 2 and a blue, and when this class becomes level 2, you draw 2 cards. So this is a one-time triggered ability that when you reach level 2, go ahead and Divination. It is a little bit overcosted at that point, but if we're in an Enchantments Matter type of deck or some kind of a Devotion deck, it's fine so far. Level 3 costs us 4 and a blue and gives us a triggered ability. Whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. So at this point, we've paid quite a bit of mana to gain access to this for a fairly underwhelming quote-unquote ultimate. I think I like the Cleric class's ultimate better, and I definitely like the Paladin's ultimate better than this one for level 3. Wizard seems okay. This is my least favorite of the classes so far, and we are currently 3 in. Why don't we take a look at the next one? We're going to move into black, and we're going to look at the Warlock class. Warlock class costs a single black mana, and it has a triggered ability at the beginning of your end step. If a creature died this turn, each opponent loses 1 life. We level up to level 2 for 1 and a black, so a very efficient cost, I like that. When this class becomes level 2, look at the top 3 cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. Okay, I like that a lot better as a one-time triggered ability. That is way better for me than the Divination that the Wizard gets. It's cheaper. We get to dump cards into our graveyard, which Black probably wants to do anyway. It actually doesn't cost any life. That's really nice too. The downside we're dealing with here is level 3 is going to cost us 6 and a black, so a total of 7 mana. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses life equal to the life they lost this turn. So we get a form of Wound Reflection. Looking at the card, you can stack the triggers so that you put the level 3 trigger on the stack first and then the level 1 on the stack second. Meaning that even if an opponent has taken no damage, you can have the level 1 trigger resolve first. Each opponent loses 1 life if a creature died this turn. Then, at the beginning of your end step, each opponent will lose life equal to the life they lost this turn. So essentially, it'll be a minimum of 2 life if you manage to destroy at least 1 creature each turn. That's a lot of work to get a Wound Reflections, but if your deck is looking for more Wound Reflections, that's not a bad way to handle it. This looks like it will fit best into an Aristocrats type deck. It is going to be the weakest Aristocrat, but it is coming on an enchantment instead of a body, which means it's going to be a little bit harder to interact with. I like this. This is not bad, and I really like that level 2 being relatively cheap. Moving on to red, we get our Barbarian class for a single red mana. This appears to be our Dice Rolls Matters class. If you would roll one or more dice, instead roll that many dice +1 and ignore the lowest roll. If you play D&D, you'll recognize that as essentially saying you get to roll with advantage. That's pretty nice. I don't think this is going to have any real relevance outside of people building with cards from the new Adventures in the Forgotten Realms sets, or people who have house ruled in uncards where you're rolling a lot of dice. Honestly, for an uncube or an unknight for commander, that could be really cool with some silver bordered cards rolling lots of dice. This card could be a powerhouse in that type of a setting. Outside of it though, in regular commander, I think this has the weakest level 1 ability we've seen so far. Next, level 2, I like that it only costs 1 and a red. Whenever you roll 1 or more dice, target creature you control gets +2/+0 and gains menace until end of turn. More payoff for dice rolling, again, very likely to be not very relevant for commander in general. But if you're going to be playing an unset, if you are playing a commander who rolls dice, this could potentially be a way to get a really cheap anthem effect. And menace is really good evasion. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It is hard to profitably block a creature who has menace. Then level 3, for a very cheap cost of 2 and a red compared to other ultimates or level 3s that we've seen so far, creatures you control have haste. Creatures you control have haste is costed at about 3 mana value these days. you're paying a total of six to get to it. To reach that point, you have to really want a deck that is going to have lots of dice rolling. Overall, I think that Barbarian is going to get the lowest ranking out of everything we've seen so far. It's really cool, and if you are rolling lots of dice, rolling with advantage is powerful, and it's cool. I just don't know any home that I would have for this one yet. Let's move on to green with what I think might be one of the strongest classes so far, and that is the Druid class. Druid is one and a green, and its level one ability is whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain one life. Okay, that level one is really lackluster. Gaining a single life for a landfall is not really where you want to be, especially spending two mana value on it. Let's look at the next level. Level two, two and a green, you may play an additional land on each of your turns. Okay, now you have my attention. Additional landfall in a landfall deck. This is another way to get additional land drops. If you have a way to reliably reload your hand with the Druid class, you could easily be dropping multiple lands per turn, increasing that critical density for decks that are going to want to have multiple land drops per turn. Finally, level 3 costs 4 and a green. When this class becomes level 3, target land you control becomes a creature with haste, and this creature's power and toughness are each equal to the number of lands you control. It's still a land. As a capstone, this is a nice potential finisher when you are just looking for some way to close out the game. I could see this being another one that a lot of people just happily leave on level 2 for the entire game. I like Druid so far. This is one that I could see being worth a few bucks in the future too, as just about anything that says you may play an additional land tends to be worth a little bit of money. So keep an eye on this one. Don't leave this one with your draft chaff. All right, we're on to the final single-colored class here with the Ranger class. The Ranger class costs one and a green, and when Ranger class enters the battlefield, create a 2/2 green wolf creature token. Okay, so you're essentially getting a bear for that. A 2/2 for two, that's not too bad. It's on rate, a little bit underwhelming these days. Let's look at level two. Whenever you attack, so again, I'm assuming that means whenever one or more creatures you control attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature. That is not an expensive cost to gain a virtual form of Exalted. I know technically it's a little bit different than Exalted, but it does let you buff up a single creature when you're starting to make attacks. So potentially your 2/2 wolf is going to be swinging the first time as a 3/3. I don't mind that. In a +1/+1 counters matters type of deck, that could be a really low cost investment to start getting +1/+1 counters on your creatures, as long as you're aiming for a more aggressive style of play. Level 3 only costs 3 and a green, relatively affordable. You may look at the top card of your library at any time, and you may cast creature spells from the top of your library. That's actually not too bad at all. We've seen a premium on this type of ability to cast cards from the top of your library. It is a form of virtual card advantage. In a creature-heavy deck, Ranger could be a pretty powerful class overall. Each one of the levels does something relevant to a creature-heavy deck's game plan, so Ranger is looking good. I'm happy with how Ranger looks. Let's get on to the multicolored cards now. Our first multicolored class is the Bard. Bard costs red and green. Its level 1 ability is legendary creatures you control enter the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on them. That is a very cheap anthem type effect for a relatively low cost for a very particular type of deck. Legendary creatures matter. Sisay Weatherlight Captain decks, the 5-color version of Sisay, it works if you have Bard class out first. That means Sisay comes down, she gets a +1/+1 counter, her power is 3. She gets an additional +2/+2 from Bard class for red and green, being represented among the colors of legendary permanents you control. Sisay is then 5 power. You can activate Sisay immediately to go look for something that has a mana value of 4 or less. And there are a lot of ways to do some really gross things with a mana value 4 or less with legendary creatures from all 5 colors. Just as an anthem, as a way to put additional +1/+1 counters on your legendary creatures, particularly if you also have a +1/+1 counters theme matters in the deck, I think that's really powerful. Level 2 is also efficiently costed. For a cost of red and green, legendary creatures you control cost red and green less to cast. This effect only reduces the amount of colored mana you pay. So leaning really heavily into the legendary creature matters type thing. Although this actually says legendary spells, so this would also affect planeswalkers. This would also affect other legendary permanents. That cost reduction is probably a little bit deceptive, but being able to knock colored mana pips off of legendary creatures, you could build around this. I'm not sure how reliably you'd be getting this card out, but potentially casting some powerhouse Gruul commanders for only generic mana, that could be really, really strong. There's something here with that level too. I'm not sure what it is yet. Okay, finally, level 3 is going to cost 3 red-green. Whenever you cast a legendary spell, exile the top 2 cards of your library, you may play them this turn. Wording check. You may play them this turn means you can get land drops off of this. So whenever you cast any legendary spell, it doesn't matter if it gets countered or whatever, you still get that impulsive draw. You can get a land drop off of it, as I already mentioned. That is really strong. That is expensive to get to, but that is a strong level 3. Bard looks awesome overall. It takes a really specific deck to make this card work, but it looks awesome. Let's get on to the next one. We have the Fighter class for red and a white at level 1. When Fighter class enters the battlefield, search your library for an equipment card, reveal it, put it into your hand, and then shuffle. Okay, a 2-mana tutor for an equipment. That's not too bad, something a lot of Boros decks probably want to do anyway. Even if you're not in a real equipment-heavy deck, if you are in a Boros tokens deck, just having another way to go grab Skullclamp, that's really good. Next, level 2 costs 1 a red and a white. Equip abilities you activate cost 2 less to activate. Okay, equip abilities costing 2 less to activate means that all of the Swords of blank and blank, Swords of win the game as I call them, now can equip for a cost of 0. Most of the best equipment that we look at has an equipment cost of 1 or 2 in general in Commander. Again, the Swords of Win the Game, Skullclamp has an equip cost of 1. At that point, you've paid 5 mana for the pleasure, but you've broken it up over 2 turns. Yeah, both level 1 and level 2 of the Fighter class, I really like for just about any deck that's running at least a handful of equipment. Level 3 is going to cost 3 red-white. Whenever a creature you control attacks, up to 1 target creature blocks at this combat if able. So it gives you a chance to essentially provoke an opponent's creature and force it into a combat where it is likely to lose. This is the type of card advantage and removal that an equipment deck would really benefit from, and styled in a way that an equipment-type deck is going to be able to take advantage of without really doing any color pie breaking. It's an expensive level 3. It's not one I anticipate seeing happen a lot, but for those equipment decks when they are reaching that point where they're scraping the bottom of the barrel, it does represent another mana sink, which can potentially allow them to regain control of the board. All right, our next class is in Azorius. For white and a blue, we have the Monk class. The level 1 for Monk is the second spell you cast each turn costs 1 less to cast. At its face value, I have talked before about just how important multispelling in Commander is, and this makes multispelling a lot easier. Reducing the second spell you cast each turn with a generic mana cost reduction of 1, yeah, that is nice. Importantly, it does not apply to spells 3, 4, 5, or any other spells that turn, but just getting you the ability to make your second spell a little bit cheaper matters. Next, it's each turn, not on your turn. I don't know how this will play. This is a very unique effect. It has a lot of potential, and I'm kind of excited to see what can be done with it. Level 2 costs white, blue. When this class becomes level 2, return up to 1 target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. It's expensive to do this, but relatively cheap on the turn that you choose to activate it. It is a non-land permanent that you are returning to an opponent's hand. That can remove just about any piece of onboard stacks that is stopping you from doing what you want to do that turn. The cost to activate it is relatively low, a single white mana and a single blue mana, leaving you the rest of your cards to still play that turn. And remember, if you are still planning to multi-spell, your second spell still costs 1 less to cast. Monk is looking strong so far. Level 3 is really cheap to get to. It is 1 white blue. At the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top card of your library. For as long as it remains exiled, it has, you may cast this card from exile as long as you've cast another spell this turn. Essentially, you are building your own Phyrexian arena here. Importantly, you cannot play lands off of it because it specifically says cast, and you have to meet the criteria of casting at least one other spell this turn. It is a lot of hoops to jump through. It is not as strong on a second look as it was on the first look, but it is still a potential another source of card draw, or at least virtual card advantage. And remember, this second spell you cast is going to cost one less to cast. Monk looks tricky. There are things here that could be really good, or they could be just deceptively bad, and I'm not quite sure which it's going to be yet. I'm eager to see how this one plays out, though. Next, we have the Rogue class for blue and a black. Level 1 is, whenever creature you control deals combat damage to a player, exile the top card of that player's library face down. You may look at it for as long as it remains exiled. Okay, cool, so it's not really milling. I'm glad to see that. And it's for each creature that deals combat damage to a player. It's not if one or more creatures, so you're not limited to only a single hit. By itself, this doesn't do anything at level 1 unless you are really desperate for more ways to mill people out in your deck. But, as we're going to see as we move on, it is going to be a payoff for later on. Level 2 costs 1 blue-black, and creatures you control have Menace. Okay, I just said a few moments ago how strong Menace is. Menace is one of the most powerful ways you can get evasion for your creatures. Flying is wonderful. Menace, though, particularly if you are going wide, it is difficult to block a board full of creatures with Menace. If you're going tall and have a single large creature, that single large creature with Menace, it is really hard. You are setting your opponents back usually at least 2 cards per turn if you are attacking with a large creature, forcing them to chump block with not one creature but 2 every turn. That adds up pretty quickly. Still, not a lot of synergy yet with that level 1 ability, so let's look at level 3. 2 blue black, you may play cards exiled with Rogue class, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast those spells. Okay, there is our payoff for our level 1 ability. We got nothing particular out of that level 1 ability until we hit level 3, so this is one where we're really planning to go all the way through to level 3. At that point, we do not necessarily need to start connecting to start getting value. In theory, we have already connected at least a few times and gotten a little bit of value, and now the world is our oyster with all those cards that we've exiled so far. I'm not sure how strong this one is overall. I really like Menace, but we're at that point looking at 5 mana to give your creatures Menace and also getting a little bit of milling. I have to think on this one more. This is cool, but similar to the Monk, I'm not sure how strong it is yet. Finally, our last class that we're going to look at is the Sorcerer class. For blue and a red, when Sorcerer class enters the battlefield, draw 2 cards and then discard 2 cards. That is already fairly on rate. 2 mana to loot 2 cards. Draw 2, then discard 2. It is a triggered ability. It has no meaningful static ability at that point. I still might consider that for some of my Izzet decks, just because having a density of 2 mana draw spells, particularly looting, is really nice. Next, at level 2, it costs us 2 and a red. Creatures you control have tap, add blue or red. Spend this mana only to cast instant or sorcery spells or to gain a class level. So you can immediately go to level 2, and then if you have a kind of board presence, you can tap your creatures to immediately go to level 3 or to immediately start casting more spells. I mean, Izzet Spellslinger is a fairly common deck archetype. This is potentially a lot of ramp for a very small investment of mana, depending on what type of deck you have built. But if you have built a Spellslinger deck with a reasonable number of creatures, particularly if your Spellslinger deck is making tokens, this is potentially a massive form of ramp for your deck. Sorcerer could potentially be the strongest one of the classes we've seen so far. I'm not sure of that yet, but this looks strong. Let's look at level 3. 3 blue red. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, that spell deals damage to each opponent equal to the number of instant and sorcery spells you've cast this turn. Okay, so level 3 is an outright win condition for Izzet-based Spellslinger decks. It seems like it is potentially really easy to hit that level 3 once you've activated level 2. There's a little bit of a build-around nature to it where you do need to have some number of creatures on the battlefield to easily hit level 3, but once you do that, it is probably not hard to start multi-spelling, and this potentially represents the same sort of storm-like win condition that we've seen in other decks, all on the same card that is also giving you ramp. I really like the Sorcerer class. I'm not going to lie. This one is really, really cool. It provides us with both ramp, it provides us with card advantage, and it provides us with a potential win condition. So overall, looking at the list that we've seen so far, the ones that I'm most interested in are probably Sorcerer, Paladin, Druid, and likely the Monk and Bard. Monk in particular is tricky, like the Rogue, that I don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but those are some unique effects. I'm really interested to see what winds up being built with these. Overall, I think this is a great experiment and a really cool idea for Magic the Gathering as a whole. I'm eager to see how these play out, and I want to know what you all have to say about it. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMindMTG, or you can reach out to us on email. We are GemstoneMindPodcast@gmail.com. Finally, we are on YouTube, where we are GemstoneMindPodcast. Be sure to leave us a comment. I want to know. In fact, yeah, this week, tell me what you think of these classes. I think they are really cool overall. Which one is your favorite? Which one are you going to be putting into one of your decks, or have any of them inspired any new brews altogether? Let us know, and I'm looking forward to hearing from some of you, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next time that we get together with another episode of Gemstone Mind.